Hello, welcome to the Let's Get Running podcast. Thanks for joining us. Apologies for the missing show last week. We had a slight technical issue, but we're back with a bang. We've got something slightly different for you this week. We won't be speaking to a star of British track and field. Instead, we're going to be talking about the stars of world track and field with a clubmate of mine, Peter Downey from Highgate Harriers. I'm sure he won't thank me for saying so, but he's recently joined the veterans ranks and he competes over road, cross-country and on the track over 800 metres. And he absolutely loves the sport, particularly the Olympic Games. Now, Peter and I have a tradition of making a big accumulator bet every athletics major championships. And this year will be no different with the Rio Olympics just around the corner. And we thought we'd share our bets with you this year. Who knows whether this is going to make for interesting listening. Anyway, enjoy the show. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
I've got you on this week because we're going to do a special Olympic betting podcast. And as someone who works inadvertently in the gambling industry, I think you're best placed to offer some insight into who you're going to be betting on and the best bets for the Olympics coming up.
Well, I don't think I'd offer the best insight, but I certainly enjoy gambling.
So, Peter, you'd probably say you're an 800 metre runner.
800 is certainly my favourite race distance, yes.
What got you into running originally? And when did you get into running?
I think the thing that inspired me about running was 1984 Olympics, seeing Seb Coe become the only man in history to defend the Olympic 1500 metre title. But I didn't really start running then properly. My running currently started when I was aged 24. And at work, my boss encouraged me to start going to the gym with him to try and discourage drinking of a weekend. And at the gym, I saw a poster for the New York 10K, and I thought I could do that. And I did. And I did reasonably well. I got invited to join New York AC, and I've loved running ever since.
Obviously, having Seb Coe as an idol, you followed his footsteps into the 800 metres. When did you start getting on the track?
I started running in year 2000, and in year 2001 I did my first track season.
Cool, and at the moment you're slightly injured.
Yes, which seems to be quite often the case during the summer, the track season. But just being able to run is a wonderful thing, I think. Yeah. So these days I don't get too despondent about being injured.
Yeah, and I remember you telling me once a while back, you always continue running. Every year you'll come back and come back for more, as long as you run a PB in something in the previous season. Is that right?
There was an unwritten rule. If you didn't run a PB, then you weren't allowed to compete the following year.
Have you got any kind of quite weird races still in your pocket?
Oh, well, actually, next Sunday, I'm doing a 4x1 mile, a leg in a 4x1 mile relay.
So we'll definitely see you next season. And how often did you train with the group in Highgate?
If I was fully fit, then I would, with the group, I would be training on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays probably.
And do you like? Do you continue to go to Highgate because you like kind of the social side?
What I go, I certainly don't go to training for. To socialise. I go to training to train. Being in a group brings out better performances at training.
So you're a decent club runner, you enjoy competing for Highgate.
Yeah.
Connor, what else does running provide you? What would you miss if you didn't have running in your life?
I think running is good for your soul. Just going out for a run instantly alleviates a bit of stress and raises your mood. I can come back from a run and feel high because of the endorphins.
And then do you think without running, would you be a very different person?
I guess I'd be a different person. I wouldn't like to say I'd be a very different person. I'd have to find something else that brings as much joy as running, which would probably be a struggle.
It's hard to get that buzz from anywhere quite the same, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm hopefully moving, and when I move, I thought I would get a bike so I can bike to work. And I haven't had a bike since I had a paper round, and I would be very interested to see if you get the same sort of buzz from cycling as you do from running.
And you're a massive fan of the Olympics.
4 years ago, if you'd watched the BBC News, you'd have seen me and you eating an Olympic cake in celebration of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Kind of anti-Olympic.
Anti-negativity.
Anti-negativity campaign against the 2012 Olympics. And you've got, in your house, you have an Olympic shrine on your stairway with pictures of various Olympic incidents. What is it about the Olympics you find so exciting or fascinating?
Oh, I don't know, actually. As I said, in 1984, I remember after the 1984 Olympics, I went to the library with my mum to get a book on gymnastics, because I remember thinking, I'd love to be able to just run along and pull a somersault. I got a book on gymnastics, but I certainly didn't come close to being able to do a somersault.
You're quite a competitive person, you don't mind me saying. Like, at the end of every, if I've ever done a session with you, the last rep, you like to hammer that and get a victory in the last rep. Maybe it's just kind of that you love competition.
I love competition. I love competition with the clock, with myself and my fellow man. I love it. I love seeing elite, or anyone good at something, I love seeing it. I love going at a talk by someone who knows what they're talking about, just because I'm in awe of people being good at stuff, I think.
What was your highlight of that 2012 Olympics? Because you live right by the stadium, don't you?
Yeah, we can hear the roar of the stadium from our front room. What was my highlight? Being in the stadium for Mo Farah's 5,000-metre victory, I reckon, maybe, on the final night of athletics. Oh, the roar was deafening and emotional.
And you've talked to me before about you're having your own Olympics back in 1984.
Oh, the Braeside.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
As I say, I was inspired by the 1984 Olympics. And I remember it was one afternoon, and a couple of us sneaked into the shops and bought sweets that had gold and silver and brownie wrappers so we could make medals for this event called the Braeside Athletic. That first year, it was pretty low-key. I think it was weightlifting involving a piece of wood with plastic bags at the end filled with sand. There was wrestling and quite possibly rifle shooting. But 2 years later, in 1986, the year of the Edinburgh Commonwealth Games, it was the biggest Braeside athletics ever. There was a track marked out on my parents' lawn using sawdust. My dad had helped me make a set of hurdles out of wood because he was a joiner. I dug a long jump pit in my parents' lawn. And the culminating event, or the best event of the whole day, was the steeplechase, which was the last event. And I dug a water jump in my parents' garden. And it was a sight to behold. The water jump would have been 2 feet deep at the deepest part of it. The local press even came along and reported on it.
Did they really? Yeah. Wow. So there's probably, well, I certainly know nobody who loves the Olympics as much as you.
Oh, it is.
So you're probably best placed to kind of talk about what's going to happen in a week's time at Rio. So how excited are you about the Games?
Oh, pretty darned excited.
We're both going to have an accumulator bet. So what I thought we'd do is we kind of go through and give 10 selections in order of the likelihood of them happening. So we'll go for our first pick being the one we think is a surefire lock.
Okay.
And we'll go down from there. But also we can throw in a few kind of little side bets if we think there's an outsider who might spring a surprise. And the first thing I'd say, when I was going through and looking myself, I actually realised that women's athletics is way more exciting than men's athletics. Would you agree with that?
What, competition-wise? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, with the men's, we've got a few kind of massive stars. We've got Farah and
Bolt. Obviously
Bolt. 400's quite exciting with those three guys, Merritt, Van Niekerk and Kirani James.
Yeah.
But the women's, the races are amazing. Like, from the 100 and 200, obviously Daphne Schipper's now doing both of those, but there's tons of guys who could win gold. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, like, she's won everything for the past few years. She's not anywhere near favourite for any of the medals. And the 400, you've got Alison Felix, who's kind of one of the greatest ever sprinters of all time.
And may not win.
She's facing Shawnee Miller, who's got the 1,500 metres, well, the 800 metres with Semenya, which she's probably going to win, but it's going to be really exciting to see how she does it and what she does. she's going to maybe be in the... I think she might do the 400 as well, rather
she's
than
doing,
the
50. I saw odds for her in the 400, yeah.
But the 15, if the Barber runs, and then you've got Laura Muir, who is absolutely amazing at London.
Yeah.
That's going to be an amazing race. You know, you've got Jenny Simpson, the Americans in there. And then the 5,000 is really exciting with Ayana and maybe DeBarba in there as well. And even the 10,000, well, I haven't really looked into the 10,000 that much. But the whole range of track events for women are really, really exciting. Whereas in the men's, they're a bit like, Bolt's going to win that or Farah's going to win that. They're better for our accumulators, but they're not going to be as fun to watch as the females.
Yeah.
So who would you go as your number one at Rio this year?
I better just pick out the one that's been giving me the shortest odds, which is Mo Farah in the 10,000.
That's probably more likely than the 5,000, isn't it?
Yes. Well, 10,000's first event, 5,000, ooh, might be tired.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think there'd be stiffer competition than 5,000.
Yeah. I've got Farah down as my number two bet on the 10,000, so pretty good. We both agree on that. That's a pretty surefire thing. I was also thinking of putting this cheeky fiver on Camoro as second. I think because his odds are decent on there, sort of 5-1, 6-1.
Right.
So it wouldn't be a bad bet, considering Farah, it's a race, Farah could fall over. So I think that's quite a good little option, really. So I've got him as an outside little bet, but not on my accumulator.
Right.
Anyway. So, but my number one, and I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, is the Colombian triple jumper, the female. Ibuaguan. I should have got this ready before I started talking. Anyway, she's the best Colombian long jumper. She's going to smash it up. She's won basically everything in the Diamond League this year. It's going to take something big for her to fall and miss with that one. So she's my number one pick.
Right.
So for you, number two.
Usain Bolt in the two.
In the two?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a good bet. I've got him down as number four. Thing is the one or the two first?
The one is first.
If Gatlin potentially wins, he's on the uppers.
Yeah, but at the Worlds last year, Gatlin just seemed to foul up in the 100. What was it, about 10 metres from the finishing line, just started flailing.
Yeah, and everybody on earth hopes that's going to happen again, don't they?
Indeed, yeah. Lester Gatlin's doctor.
Or Nike.
Is he sponsored by Nike?
Of course he is, yeah. I better maybe delete that out. Anyway. So I've got the same. My number two bet is Farah as well, so we'll gloss over that. Who's your number three?
Number three. Daphne Skippers in the 200.
Okay. I haven't gone for her in anything.
Really?
I just think it's too competitive, that race. So I wouldn't want to say with any confidence. I think she will win, but I wouldn't want to put any money on it.
Right.
But depending on... And if she's that short odds, I think it's probably each to their own, Peter. You can have that one. I'm going to leave you with that.
Okay.
But then my number three pick, it's not going to earn you any money, but he's going to win. Ashton Eaton in the men's decathlon.
Yeah, I pondered that, but...
I mean, he's the lowest odds of any competitor at the entire Games, I think. I don't know why I've got him as number three.
Oh, yeah, 1.05 it's got here.
Yeah, so basically, if you put a pound on, you make 5p. So I've gone a bit weak. But as part of an accumulator, you know, there's a chance to add up. So I've gone for him as my number three.
Yeah.
Who's your number four?
Number four, Asbel Kiprop in the 50.
Ah, okay. I've gone from him on my list, but he's a bit further down.
Right.
But he should, in theory, win, didn't he, Kiprop? Apart from he ran pretty badly at London, where I don't know what really happened to him, because the rest of the year he just won whenever he wanted to win.
Mm.
But I'd say, on that race, anything but McLoofy. I don't care who wins, as long as that guy doesn't win. God, I hate him. This drugs bust that recently happened in Spain, McLoofy's previously part of that group, and...
Yeah.
Around then in 2012, and I've got no faith in McLoofy being a clean athlete.
No.
So, yeah, anyone but McLoofy, ideally Kiprop, because he is my number eight pick, I think. And he's your number four, right?
Yeah, and I'm only ordering them on their odds that I've got.
Okay, cool. And my four was Bolt in the 200.
Yeah.
Have we got anyone British in there? Oh, we've got Adam Jamili, who has got the world's nicest face.
Jamili. Oh, yeah.
I think Molly, he's my wife Molly's favourite athlete right now, which is, I don't know what to say about that. But so hopefully, I don't think he's going to get a medal necessarily, but it'd be nice to see him do well and get to the final.
Yeah.
So that's a 200. Your next pick, number 5.
The next one is Jess Ennis Hill.
Jess Ennis Hill, who I haven't gone for at all.
It is a bit of a gamble, I think.
Yeah.
But she came back after basically nothing last year and won the Worlds.
Yeah.
And she's competed this year, but she didn't go to Gotsis. So yeah. It is certainly a gamble. She.
What's her odds?
2.5.
Okay. So you, a quid on, you get 250 back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah, I don't know. Who's that? Ashley Neaton's wife. She competes for Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, my pronunciation has been proved to be pretty dire. So I reckon she might beat her, but it's going to be close. My number 5 was Sandra Perkovic in the discus.
Oh, right.
She's going to smash it up. I think she was second at the Worlds last year, but she's been dominant in the Diamond League this year. So I've got a feeling she's going to be the number one. I think it's discus. It could be hammer.
Sandra Perkovic, did you say? Yeah, 1.1 odds.
1.1, exactly.
Oh, it's, so better, it's better than... Sorry, who's your 1.05?
Ashton Eaton. So it basically shows I just picked the favourites in every... Yeah.
However, if you're going to make any money, you need them all to come in, so...
Exactly, yeah. Which is good. I've got some outside bets to come through in a second.
Good.
So that was your number 5. What's your number 6?
Number 6. After Jess Ennis, I have got Shawnee Miller, the women's 400.
Whoa, madness.
Madness?
Yeah, you can't touch that race. 400 is such a hard race to predict. And I think with Semenya, if she can run 155 and look easy, she did it. Was it in Monaco she did that?
Yeah.
She's got to be able, you've got to think she's capable of going 50 or below. And Semenya is just, she's a maverick. She might win, she might not. But then there's Felix has now had, 4 weeks since the US trials. She's one of the best sprinters in the world.
I agree, and she's a favourite. But Shawnee Miller took the world lead in London just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
okay.
So that's what I based it entirely on.
What's her odds, Shawnee Miller?
2.7.
That's a good little outside bet.
It is. She's got the same odds as Caster Semenya, and Alison Felix's favourite at 2.1.
Well, I'm not dissing you. You know more better than I do, so... I'd say she's an outside bet.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I thought Caster Semenya surely can't win. Has she raced the 400?
She's raced one, and she got, 50 seconds, which is, the best is 49 something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon she's got a chance of a double. Anyway, next one. So mine is my hero, my personal hero, Ezekiel Kemble.
Ah, I was looking at steeplechase thinking, ooh.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's certainly not favourite, is he?
He's not. He's down about third favourite. But I think and there was something on Let's Run a while back because I was looking at the Kenyan trials. And they said he was third at the Kenyan trials. But they said... bet on this guy for the Olympics because basically he was breakdancing down the final straight. Which is kind of thing that Kemboy does. He always finishes in lane 8,
yes.
Doesn't he? He can't be bothered to run straight down the straight and then does his little dance. I reckon he's brilliant, Kemboy.
Well, for that alone, he's worth betting on.
Yeah, he's a nutcase and he's my number 6 pick.
Well, you've finally gone for somebody who's got reasonable odds.
What is he? What, what does
2.7 on Betfair.
2.75.
Okay.
I would say to anyone putting a little sly bet on Ezekiel Kemboy, just for one bet,
yeah.
Bet on him. You can make a little bit of money off that, and he will, in my opinion, win. Do it. Right, next one is it number 7? I've got Kiprop for that, so we've already talked about Kiprop.
Yeah.
What's your 7?
Next one is... Oh, dear, I was I was astounded that this guy's favourite, but I've gone for Greg Rutherford.
Wow, okay. Why are you astounded?
He certainly produces when it counts.
Yeah.
So...
Well, he's my number 1, 2... He's down to number 9 for me.
Oh, so you've got him as well then?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's going to win.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that's a bad bet.
Right.
Quite a good one. But anyway, he's on my list as well, and I think he will win. Great brother.
Oh, next one.
Okay, so my next one, number eight, is, we've spoken about her already, 800 metres, Carla Semenya. I've gone for her. She must be really low odds.
Oh, God. Yeah. Carla Semenya, 1.08.
Oh, so you get about 80...
8p for every pound you put on.
Is it 8p or 80p?
8p.
Well, she's going to win. She's definitely going to win. And if all of these come off together, I'll win about,
double your money, probably.
I'll come away with 20 quid. But anyway, she is amazing, Semenya, and I do think she's going to win it. Okay, so on to, what are we at? Might be the 8th pick. So what have you got down for number 8?
In the other 800, I've gone for David Rudisha.
You've gone for David Rudisha. I considered it and then went against it.
Oh, no.
Why have you gone for Rudisha?
He hasn't done a huge amount this season, has he?
No. No.
Which is obviously a bit of a worry, but...
Yeah. I think he's done it. He's raced quite weirdly. And I think he should go back to the old tactics.
Oh, he hasn't always front run, has he?
Yeah. Because before he was... Because he was the best 400 metre runner in the race.
Yeah.
So he'd go off and he knew... He went off fairly hard, and because he was the best flat 400 metre runner, he could just run the last 400 metres as a race,
yeah.
And he would still win.
Yeah.
But I guess now, not as fast as he was, but maybe he should just keep the same tactic, slow down a little bit, and then kick again with 200 to go, and he probably still will hold him off.
Mm. I predict he'd go back to front running at the Olympics. Was it in Beijing? He decided after fouling up that he would just front run, because not front run, and it all went wrong at Beijing or something.
I think if he front runs, he'll win.
Yeah.
I hope he does try it front run. I haven't gone for him on my list. I've gone for Rutherford as that number. So
yeah.
On to our next one. I've lost count myself.
I've got two left.
Okay, here we go. So I've also got two left. I thought I had 11, but anyway, here we go. So 9 is...
Barshim in the men's high jump.
Ah.
Which, again, is a close competition, and you get good odds. He's not the favourite. You'll probably be able to suggest he's favourite.
Bondarenko's the favourite,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh no, hold on. They're equal favourites.
Right, what's the odds?
3.0 for both of them.
3.0, okay. That's not bad. But it's so close that it's hard to put one on. Yeah. It's worth, if you had a spare fiver you wanted to make it 15 and didn't mind losing a fiver, then throw it on Barshim. But I wouldn't go for him in accumulator. He's got too much chance of it not happening. But anyway, each to their own. I've gone for the 5,000 metre runner, Ayana.
Ah, right.
Yeah, who is just amazing. She beat DeBarber at the Worlds last year. I don't think she'll be that good odds because DeBarber's such a big cloud or shadow.
1.1 for Ayana.
Oh, God, I just choose all the favourites. And we've got one more each, have we? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So who's your final one?
With one with the longest odds is, you said Adam Jamili was Molly's favourite athlete. I've gone for Zoe's favourite athlete, Blanka Vlasic.
Blanka Vlasic?
Yeah.
The Croatian?
Yeah. In the high jump.
What's her odds?
5.5.
Oh, well out.
And she's equal favourite. Oh, no, she's not. Ruth Beata is favourite.
Okay.
4.5 right. She is. And then Cunningham and Vlasic are 5.5.
Okay.
So it's a pretty open competition.
It is, yeah. Which is a worry for
which
other people.
Which is not to put it in the accumulator.
Which is what I haven't done, and I've picked one of my favourite athletes in the world, Valerie Adams.
Ah, yes.
Great, she's great. I follow her on Twitter. She's great on there. She's got a really interesting backstory. Have you heard about her backstory?
No.
Because her brother plays in the NBA. I can't remember who he is, but he's also another massive man. Because you see, she's absolutely massive, Valerie Adams.
Uh-huh.
And she is the daughter of an English sailor.
Mm-hmm.
She came over to New Zealand, basically impregnated the whole town. I shouldn't laugh about this. And one of his two of his offspring... Valerie Adams, and I don't know the name of the guy, he must be another Adams, but he just is this massive, great big sailor, just basically going over, doing awful things, and outspring two of the greatest sportsmen of the generation. She is really amazing. She's fantastic. So I'd say she is my last pick. Person I wanted to put on who I think is going to win too is Brittany Reese.
Oh, right.
In the long jump for the Americans, I think Brittany Reese is amazing. She's pretty bad. She doesn't look as she's that interested in actually doing it.
Yeah.
But actually, she like in terms of raw talent, she's easily better than everyone else. So I would put Brittany Reese in there if I had a 12th pick or 11th pick. God knows how far we've got through now.
Brittany Reese. Oh, and that would make Brittany Reese, if you had picked her, by way distance, your longest odds at 2.5.
2.5, that is a bet. I'd she favourite?
She is favourite, yep.
Yeah, oh, Brittany Reese, pick her. Because she's a bit of a wayward talent, you never know what you're going to get from her.
Yeah. But you're going to get gold from her, are you?
I'm getting gold out of her. Perfect. And I thought about another couple of it. I think the Americans are going to win both 400 metre relays.
400, yeah.
Good safe bet. And I also think that I'd like to bet that they win. I don't know if any bookies will take this, but that the Americans will win 4 out of the available 6 medals in the short hurdle sprint.
Yeah.
That makes sense? So.
Ah, right. You just swap in your local bookmaker to get that set up, I think.
I do. And I'd love to put a bet on Laura Muir because I think she's amazing.
I thought exactly the same thing after London. I was amazed at her running London Diamond League.
I don't know what her odds are. Do you know what her odds for?
Yeah. Dibaba, Kinzebi Dibaba, 1.72. Then Faith Kipyegon at 2.2. And then it's Laura Muir at 11.0.
Put a bet on that on the outside. Don't put it as a an accumulator bet, but put a bet on that. Jesus, I don't really know Faith Kipyegon.
No.
And I think Dibaba could choke this time.
Ah, right.
Yeah, I did have a chat with do you know Jermaine Mays?
Yeah.
He's been training out in with Dibaba's group for a bit. He just did a few sessions with them.
Uh huh.
And he said he did an 800 meter session. And the coach said, you've got to go and do these in 2:05. You're doing 5.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, that sounds quick. But he said he went for the first one in 2:01.
Uh-huh.
And he was hammering himself. And he turned round, and then Dibaba was just sitting on his shoulder. And every time, he just couldn't lose her. She was running 2:01s for 800 in training.
What the heck?
Which is just unbelievable.
Mm.
Drugs or not. They should have made a decision on that. It's really stupid. Just like to think they made this big bust. They've found her coach with all this EPO, which might not be her coach. Apparently, it might actually be someone else in the building who was related to something else.
Yeah.
They found this. They should have made a decision like a Gaylor Up. Gaylor Up's competing again. Why doesn't someone just say, right, we found no evidence of Salazar being a cheat, or they'll say we're still investigating. There's reason to believe he could be dead.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. It should have been cleared up way before the Olympics. But anyway, have you got a bet for someone you definitely think is going to choke? Gatlin.
Well, I'd bet on him choking just in the hope that he does choke. A lot of my betting just comes from the heart. So I'll put bets on just because I want something to happen, as opposed to thinking, oh, this will definitely happen to make me money.
Which is definitely how I've done it. But I want everyone to know, before we finish the show, I have never won an accumulator in my life. Despite going for all the favourites, I've never won, and betting should be enjoyed responsibly.
Can I investigate what your odds are? I've put mine in, and the odds for my 10 fold accumulator at about 2,300 to 1.
Wow.
So I am going to be stinking rich. I'll just change the odds so they're yours.
Yeah.
Your odds were probably an average of about 1.1, right?
Hey, come on. Think about Brittany Reese.
She's not even in yours.
No, but I might put her on.
Valerie Adams was 1.8. She was probably the longest odds you've got.
Hey, what about Kenboy? Kenboy was too odd.
Okay, well, I'll put in a 2 point something. Bear with.
This is excellent live audio.
So if you've got a few at 1.1, because you had 1.05, 1.08 was one of them.
I think one was lower, wasn't it? 1.02, wasn't it, Eden?
You're going to get odds of let's be generous, about 30 to 1.
I'll take that, 30 quid.
But if you win them all, then you're doing better than me, who's got huge odds and ends up losing. Yeah.
Put on a tenner, what will I get? £300? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. Excellent. So that brings us to the end of our little betting extravaganza. Perhaps we'll catch up after to see how our bets have worked out. I think we're both probably going to fail and come out with nothing, but it's been fun thinking about it.
It certainly has, yes.
Unfortunately, last year we did this with a big fry up in Stratford, didn't we? We can't have. I live in Amsterdam now. We can't have a fry up. I'm going to eat some overnight oats that my that my wife put on last night for me after my long run. So I'm going to go and do that. And good luck with the bets, and we'll catch up again soon.
Great.